Monet King, it's 6 minutes past six. It was a boat trip that changed one Kent man's life forever. 14-year-old Timothy Natchbull, who grew up in Mersham near Ashford, was on a family holiday off the coast of Ireland when his boat was blown up. His grandfather, Lord Mountbatten, the last Viceroy of India, and two other members of his family were killed in the attack. It's been a long and difficult journey for Timothy Natchbull, but 30 years on, he says he forgives the IRA. Earlier in the programme, he spoke about the moment of the attack, which left him perforated eardrums, and how he could not see. He spent the first 3 days in intensive care, and it was there that he found out that his twin brother, 14-year-old Nicholas Natchbull, had also been killed in the boat bombing.
I never truly healed from that moment in a way that was complete. And in 2003, I went back to Ireland to really address that question, the lack of a goodbye to my dead twin, and a wish to try and get to a new stage of healing, a new stage of understanding and forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's what I've written about in this book.
It's impossible to imagine what any family that goes through this kind of atrocity, and we hear these stories of many families around the world who find themselves, and we're still hearing of our soldiers who find themselves on roadblocks being blown up on a daily basis. And for any family dealing with the hurt, you were right at the very centre of what happened. And I mentioned earlier the headline of the story, which of course in people's minds they think of Lord Mountbatten, and they think of him perhaps alone. And for you as a family to move on from that, to try and move on, and lots talked about resolution. I know 8 years later from when that happened, there was the bereavement counsellor that came in to your lives. That, I understand, helped to at least not move on, because I'm not sure anyone could, but to get a sense of place with what happened.
That's right, Dom, and it was the beginning of a process of unlocking in me things that needed to be unlocked. The thing that really changed me was falling in love with my wife, with Isabella, marriage, children. And on the birth of my first daughter, Amber, in 2000, I well, like any new parent, I suppose, I was in love, not with the experience, but with my little girl, and looking into her eyes, it made me ask a lot of questions about life, about parenting. It made me think about the loss that my mother had suffered in losing her son. And I wrote almost a letter of, almost by reflex, I wrote a letter to the couple who had been in that little boat I described in Ireland. And I said to them, essentially, thank you for saving my life. You've no idea what it means to me day by day to be loving the gift of life, and now to be seeing a little girl. And as I went back to Ireland, what I discovered lay at the very epicentre of my ongoing emotional wounds, which had not healed, was the inability to say a proper goodbye to Nicholas. Now, in September 1979, 6th of September 1979, there was a funeral in Mersham, in the church in Mersham, St. John the Baptist, and it was the funeral of my grandmother and of my identical twin brother. And that day, my parents and I were unable to travel. We were in our hospital beds in Ireland, and we had no way of listening to the service. The very, very kind broadcasting unit at the William Harvey Hospital made a recording, and they got that to us, and that was the first time that we heard the music, we heard the prayers. We held our own very short service, about 5 or 10 minutes, with a wonderful chaplain in the hospital, and with some great friends of ours who'd come out to be with us when the rest of the family had returned for the funerals. And that was key. It was a tremendous extra sadness not to be at his funeral, because it was that failure to say goodbye properly which had stayed with me as an overhang. And in 2003, I went back to Ireland really very quietly and very privately, just to spend time in the west of Ireland. I made the time to go and spend about a week there alone in August 2003, the anniversary of the bomb that was coming up, 24 years at that stage. And things started to unlock for me, and as I spent the following month, another 4 or 5 days, and the month after that, and so on, right through that year, until we reached August 2004, which was the 25th anniversary, when I stopped. And by that stage, I had managed to piece together for the first time a true understanding of what had happened that day, of who had attacked us, of how they had attacked us, why, when, how they had moved. And that was part of what I needed to start getting into a new state of forgiveness and healing.
And on that state of forgiveness, on that state of healing, you have forgiven those who caused it?
That's been one of the blessings for me, is right from the get-go, my mother and father, leading really from the front, but my rest of my family as well, they harbored no bitterness. We just had an acceptance of what happened. I was very impressionable as a 14-year-old, and I followed their example. Never recriminations, no bitterness. We got on with our lives. But by going back to Ireland and piecing it together, I was able to address many of these unanswered questions, and thereby came to this extra sense of forgiveness, which I feel now. Really, when I went back to Ireland, I wanted to make sure that first and foremost, I wasn't going to do anything to bring injury, to open up old wounds for anybody. I went there really to try and just patch up some old wounds of my own, which I was able to do and to move forward. And I wanted the same for other people. And time and again, I was just bowled over when I found in talking to people that they said, well, in talking to you, we found a little bit of extra peace for ourselves. Mm. We wanted to say goodbye to you. You disappeared really in a whirlwind with the violence and the security and the trauma of it. But really, the process for me has allowed me to say, in saying goodbye to my dead twin, has allowed me to say hello much more to the present in which I'm living, and the joy of having a wonderful family of my own, of seeing my own children beginning to grow up, and indeed learning about these things is part of that, and to have this happy time, and what a joy it is to come back to Kent on a regular basis and to see my mother and see the home, and of course from time to time visit the grave of my twin brother Nicholas.
And has the sound of the bomb blast stopped and disappeared from your mind?
Well, it's something of a miracle of me, for me, that has happened. I wasn't really, I couldn't really hope for sure that it would happen, but you've mentioned the sound of the bomb, and quite right, that is what I found happened to me. I would have something that would trigger it, sometimes more than once a day, sometimes half a dozen times a day, and the sound of the bomb would fill my head. Well, in going back to Ireland, that has stopped almost completely, and it's a really wonderful gift. Small mental reminders like that have gone, and it's a wonderful situation now to be rid of that and to be seeing Ireland in this increasingly peaceful state. And of course my dearest wish is to see that continue, because the pain and the suffering, one wouldn't want that on anybody.
Nicholas Knatchbull, the grandson of Lord Mountbatten, talking about how he has come to terms with the IRA bombing which killed his grandfather and two members of his family. He's written a book. It's called A Clear Blue Sky, and it came out this week.
Ramsgate, Ashford, Rochester, Gravesend, Dungeness, Tunbridge Wells, Grain.
Covering the county every day. This is BBC Radio Kent.
Next on the programme, a heartwarming story that really restores your faith in people. That coming up. First, though, we'll head to the latest on the roads with Barry Lewis and the M25 round the Dartford Tunnelway. Let's get the latest from him now.